We provide all the services at no cost, but you don't have to use them. We've had some companies that are like, we just want you to do pen testing for us. That's all we care about. That's fine. It's a buffet, right? Eat what you want. You don't have to eat your vegetables if you don't want your vegetables, right?
Hello, hello. It's Jacob Hill with GRC Academy. Today, I'm here with Mr. Darren Mott. Darren, how are you today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Thank you so much for coming on. And folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to like, comment, share, subscribe, review, all the things. Really helps me out. Thanks in advance. Well, Darren, tell us about yourself. How'd you get to where you are today?
I was a high school teacher in 1998. My wife and I had a conversation because we were both teachers. Is this what our life's going to be like? We go to school, we work summer jobs at summer school. And that summer, I applied to become an FBI agent. And so in 1999, I got hired on to be an agent. And so I went to the FBI Academy, ended up doing cyber crime and cyber investigations and managing cyber squads for my whole 20 years, in addition to some counterintelligence stuff. And then when I retired, I was hired on by a clear defense contractor in Huntsville, Alabama, to be the outreach and education coordinator for what has become the National Cybersecurity Operations Center, which is what we're here to talk about today. And now 5 years later, it was originally a 3-year prototype contract, but now it's a FAR-based continuing contract. I'm now the deputy program manager overseeing the operations here in Huntsville.
And you mentioned the National Cybersecurity Operations Center, the National CSOC. I'm really excited to help others in the DIB understand what you have to offer and how you can help. So tell us about it.
Sure. So I'll kind of give you like intro depth to what we do when we do introductory calls with potential clients. So in 2018, the National Defense Authorization Act came out with a piece within it that required the DOD and to kind of look at and for contractors to really start thinking about how they do cybersecurity. Because obviously, you know, 20 years in the FBI saw China, Russia, Iran stealing all sorts of proprietary information from DIB contractors for all sorts of things. Obviously, the most famous is the F-35 strike fighter getting pretty much completely stolen across all the entities that worked on that particular project. So now, obviously, with hypersonics, railgun, all that kind of stuff, there's concerns too. How do we mitigate these threats and these risks, right? Richard Shelby, who was the senator for Alabama at the time, he was the appropriations lead on the Senate committee. Essentially, he kind of spearheaded a lot of this to create what was a prototype contract to create a national cybersecurity operations center that focused specifically at the beginning on DIB contractors and especially small and medium DIB contractors. How do we improve their cyber defensive hygiene? Really kind of what it came down to, because they had none, right? They were required to do NIST 800-171 self-attest under the DFARS regulation, all that kind of stuff. There was a recognition that CMMC, the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, was on its way. And so a lot of these companies were going to need help doing kind of the basics. And so this contract was a 3-year prototype to say, can we develop a center that services these small and medium-sized DIB contractors and gives them the things they need to be better protected and improve their cyber defensive hygiene? This includes continuous monitoring and using a SIM solution and being able to monitor their logs and look for activity. And if you find bad stuff, you have instant response to do that. Having digital forensics to be able to, you know, do a forensic on a computer of an insider who may have stolen proprietary information. Threat analysis, compliance assessments was the big one. Obviously, knowing CMMC was coming, being able to assess them prior to that and say, okay, you're not really getting there on all the controls you need to. You need to do these things first before you actually pay for the certification down the road. And penetration testing, vulnerability assessments, kind of all the basics, right? All the things that you need to do to be cyber safe, like I like to say a lot. We would provide them to these DIB contractors at no cost to them was the kicker. That doesn't cost them anything. The only thing it costs the clients that come in is the time it spends dealing with some of our hardware requirements and stuff like that. We actually provide them a hardware solution that is basically plug and play to their network that allows us to do what it is that we do. So the original idea was this would be DIB primarily, but also we would kind of branch out and look at critical national infrastructure entities as well, because there's a lot of overlap between those, right? You have a company that does contracting within DOD, but it also does contracting within the energy sector, right? So there's that kind of blending as well. And it would eventually branch out to even beyond just the critical national infrastructure and DIB stuff with healthcare, finance. Again, it's targeted toward those small and medium companies that just can't afford to do these things, right? You want to do a pen test, it's going to cost you $10,000. A lot of these small companies can't afford to do that. So we would do that for them, again, at no cost. The 3-year prototype, but it ended up going an additional 2 years for a lot of different reasons. COVID, obviously, what happened, we moved into our building and COVID hit a month and a half later. And so we had to scramble and figure out how to do all those things. You know, from a cybersecurity perspective, you're trying to build this operation center. You can't have pen testers and continuous monitoring analysts really working from home. Doesn't really work as you'd like to think it would. So, you know, that kind of pushed it back a little bit. Army is the entity that oversees it. So there were some slowdowns in the midst of that, but we've kind of proved the concept that it works. And so now it's gone from the prototypes, almost that particular contract's about over, but we're going into a 5-year FAR-based contract moving forward.
Let's dig more into the process of a defense contractor actually getting your services. What does that look like?
Sure. So essentially, they just have to kind of show an interest. Hey, what do you guys do? We'd like to learn more, right? So, you know, we have a website, nationalcsoc.com. Mm-hmm. You can go there and there's actually a page that's contact us and we can set up an information meeting. It takes about a half hour to kind of walk through basically what I've just told you. There's some, you know, pretty graphs and pretty PowerPoint slides. Talk about the NIST framework a little bit, all that kind of stuff. We talk about CMMC a little bit. A lot of companies have come in, even though CMMC has been around now for 4 years, it's still in the rule phase, but certainly most DIP contractors should know it's coming, but so many still don't know what to do, right? Are they level one? Are they level two? We're not really dealing with the level three companies simply because, you know, the Boeings, the Lockheeds, they can afford to do their own cybersecurity. They don't need us for that, right? But for all the other mom and pops, I mean, we have a lot of companies that it's 5 people or 10 people or, you know, maybe 20 people. So there's a lot in that world that's our focus is for those folks.
When you're onboarding a client, what types of agreements have to be in place, that type of thing?
That's a great question. So we basically have two documents we send them. One is called what we call our vulnerability and capabilities form. And essentially all it is help us understand who you are, like kind of give us an idea of who's your point of contact. What services do you want? Because we provide all the services at no cost, but you don't have to use them. We've had some companies that are like, we just want to do pen testing. We just want you to do pen testing for us. That's all we care about. That's fine. It's kind of like it's a buffet, right? Eat what you want. You don't have to eat your vegetables if you don't want your vegetables, right? Some just wanted assessment. We just want to do that compliance assessment so we know we're ready to be CMMC certified. But plenty have taken all the services, right? There's that form that kind of says, what do you want us to do? And then what level CMMC do you want to be? If you're not a DIP contractor, we've been doing a couple municipalities, we've got a school district, but there's also a professional services agreement, which kind of lays out the expectations and requirements. There have been a couple of companies that have hesitated on a couple of lines within there. Obviously, being a government contractor, there's a huge concern that, oh, well, if your customer is really the government, they're going to look at our data, and they do not. The government folks that kind of oversee our program, manage this program from their perspective, have no access to our operations floor where, you know, the analysts work on the continuous monitoring related stuff. We have this room with 96 planar screens and it's huge, right? It's quite an operation center, quite a display, but the government has no access to that. They have no access to the data. I mean, obviously the only time we are going to give client data to the government is if there's a legal process in place to say you must turn it over. But even at that point, what we tell the clients, we are an extension of your cybersecurity team. Now, coming in, you may have no cybersecurity team and we become that, or you may have the one IT guy who's also your cybersecurity guy. So we are now supporting his actions under the cybersecurity portion, but everything we do is to support your company. So if we find, let's say, you know, worst case scenario, we come across child pornography on your network, right? We are not going to call the FBI and say, hey, there's child pornography on this guy's network. We're going to go to you, say, this is what we found. It's now up to you to report that if you choose to do so. It's on yours. We will not turn the information over to the government just willy-nilly because it's a government contract.
Hey everyone, Jacob here. Let me tell you about today's sponsor, Vanta. As the number and severity of third-party breaches continues to rise, companies are increasingly vigilant, not just about how they handle their own data, but how their vendors do as well. For compliance leaders, this means more security reviews are coming across your desk every day, and valuable time is being wasted on manual security reviews. With Vanta questionnaire automation, compliance teams can complete security reviews up to 5 times faster, giving you time back to focus on running your compliance programs. Over 8,000 global companies like ZoomInfo, Smart Recruiters, and Noibu use Vanta to save time on security reviews. Visit Vanta.com/GRC Academy to learn more about questionnaire automation. That's Vanta.com/GRC Academy. Thanks and enjoy the rest of the episode. So let's dive into the CMMC services that you all provide. What does that look like?
The main one is the compliance assessment, right? So we will go in and we've developed our own assessment for CMMC, level one or level two, basically saying, okay, if you're doing level two, you've got to do NIST 800-171, essentially. You got to show that you are compliant with all 110 controls, which means, you know, for some of them, we may need to see one of your policies. What policies do you have in place to address control whatever. You're using multi-factor authentication. Okay, can you prove to us you're using it? Show us your multi-factor authentication dashboard, or show us, you know, the receipt that you bought it and that you're using it, right? You buy it and use it are two different things. And maybe, you know, show us your domain directory to show that you're doing that correctly. You've got to show that you're actually doing that control. Mm-hmm. So it's good for companies to do that up front because, hey, it kind of costs them nothing, but they're going to know, hey, where there's 87 of these 110 we are not compliant with, we may need to start doing that. But one thing we don't do, and we say this up front, is we do not remediate your issue. So if you have 87 controls you're not compliant with, we cannot remediate those for you. We are not a remediation organization. But we can suggest how you do that. We can recommend you do that. A lot of times for companies, it's just you got to create policies. So many companies come in, they have no written policies. You got to come up with some kind of policy creation that covers those requirements within CMMC. So that's kind of the basics for that. One of the things we're building out is what's called, you know, everybody's heard about continuous monitoring, where you get log files in and you look for incidents, and you look for activity, and look for signatures of bad actors. We are creating what's called continuous compliance assessment monitoring, basically meaning there are certain things within CMMC that you can monitor pretty much going forward. Some you can't, but some you can. So we're working that into our system so that we can say, hey, you know, this control, we've now noticed you're out of compliance with that. Like you're not patching correctly, right? So we now know that you have three endpoints that aren't patched correctly. So you need to go patch those. Otherwise, you're out of compliance with this particular control set. So that's a provision that we're creating in that allows companies, because a lot of companies that aren't using us or to kind of doing their own thing are going to do everything they can do to get compliant with CMMC. They're going to get certified, and then they're not going to worry about CMMC for 3 years because they can say, I have this certification, I'm good. But you know, within 3 months, they're out of compliance on half of them because they're not doing them anymore. So we're working on a system that kind of keeps them up to date on that so they don't have to scramble around when their reassessment comes due.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you. The folks doing the CMMC assessments, what kind of training do they go through?
So they get certified CMMC professional training, meaning they're certified under this program, and there's several of them to do it, that say, you have studied enough about CMMC that we can say, you know what you're talking about, and so you can go and assess these organizations correctly and tell them that if they do these things correctly, when they go get the certification, they should feel pretty confident that they will get certified. Unless they stop their compliance between the assessment and the certification, then we can't help them there. But yeah.
yes, understand. Now, doing this at scale, how in depth are these assessments? Like, how low can you go? Are you actually looking at the technical details of the systems, like over screen share or something? Or is it really artifact based and maybe policy process oriented?
Yeah, it's primarily that way, policy process and artifact based. Yeah, we're not going in and reviewing their system and saying, well, you've got this particular network configured incorrectly. If it answers the question that the control has, yeah, you need to do these things.
Yeah.
And if they can prove, yes, we're doing this, and here's our proof, we have a policy that says we do it, or we have an artifact, here's an example of us doing it, then that's pretty much enough. Like for one of the access controls, do you maintain a guest log at your front desk, right? That's one of the controls.
Yeah.
If they can show us a picture of their guest log, okay, we're not going to go in and say, okay, show us how you check somebody in. Show us the process for them writing their name on the guest book. If an artifact can satisfy it, then there you go.
Organizations are going to find that so valuable. Even at that higher level, I mean, you're going to find all kinds of gaps that they'll be able to address. That's awesome. Right. Talk to us about some of the other services you mentioned. Continuous monitoring, threat intelligence, forensics, a lot. Let's dive into those.
So one of the things we like to highlight is we are a best of breed facility, meaning if there's a tool that does it as we determine it to be like kind of the best within that industry, that we will buy it. Like for penetration testing, we use an automated tool now called Node Zero, which Horizon 3 AI is the company that creates it. And basically, it can do a penetration test within 24 hours, sometimes quicker. We can identify vulnerabilities fairly quickly. And it uses a lot of different tools. There's some AI based and it's cloud based, whatever. But that allows us to very quickly generate a report to say, okay, here's things you need to fix, right? And we can do the manual test as well. If you say, hey, you know, I want you to really get into where you want to get into. But for honestly, most of these entities we deal with have such small networks that a full human test is not necessarily required. The automated test will get you kind of what you need to show where your holes are, but from a penetration testing perspective. From a threat intelligence perspective, we have ThreatStream, we have Augury, we have a whole host of different tools, Shadow Dragon that does, like, we'll do dark web searches to find your executives' credentials online to say, hey, you know, your CEO hasn't changed his password in 16 years, and here it is online. You may want to go change that. That kind of thing. We send out an indicator compromise report once a week to all the clients, kind of say, here's what's new, here's what we can see going on. When the CrowdStrike thing happened, we had one customer that actually used CrowdStrike. So we kind of sent them a tipper report on here are some you know, potential scams that needs to be aware of, right? Just to make awareness of that. From the continuous monitoring standpoint, we use Splunk and another tool we're implementing called Velociraptor, which is pretty a low profile piece of software that goes on. So basically when a customer comes in, we send them a device called a QRA2. But basically it's a hardware piece that connects to their network that allows the penetration testers to go there and launch their penetration test from that box. It allows us to deploy Splunk agents so that the log files that they want us to monitor can be fed into that and come back here to a secured entity that we have here. Everything is, we have nothing in the cloud. It's all on premises and it's all secured by a whole host of different encryption and logical ranges that client A has his own logical range, client B has his own logical range, and those two things never come in contact with each other. Mm-hmm. You have to access them separately through a variety of different authentication processes. So. Yeah, we're working on zero trust a little bit, but I mean, we're not perfect at it, obviously, because there's a lot to that, but we're trying to get as close to that as we can. The idea being we want this to be as secure a data environment as possible. And we have not been breached yet, but because we monitor our own stuff ourselves, mm-hmm. and there's multi-factor authentication encryption to get in, it's going to be very hard for any bad guy to necessarily get in data.
Talk to us about the forensics as well as incident response services.
So the incident response, we elevate up particular alerts within our continuous monitoring thing to say, okay, here looks like an indicator of some kind of incident. So, and the ideal thing for us is our incident responders can look at it and they can very quickly diagnose, yes, that is something we need to contact the company and tell them to turn off, you know, this enclave of their network or this box has a problem. Basically, that's how that works. Now, we can't remediate it. Like I said, we're not going to remediate the system. But we're going to say, hey, we have an incident. We've identified that what it is. We need to work through. Here's what we need to do to kind of stop it. From a forensic response, we have these huge $60,000 forensic machines that have FTK, NK, autopsy, you know, stuff we need to be able to do a full bit-by-bit forensic review. If you send us a computer, say, we've got an insider. He stole a bunch of information. Here's his laptop. They can send it to us. We can turn it around, do the forensic review, and send it to them. We actually have the capability to do that remotely, too, if they want, with some tools that are on that little box we send. So then basically you don't have to ship us the box. You just have to have to kind of connect it and we can go to it and pull all the information down that we want. One thing we don't do mobile forensics. We do not have self, right? So we don't do mobile forensics. It's all computer forensics.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of stuff you all are doing. Well, this has been awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and tell us about the services that you all offer. And I'm hoping that this will generate more folks coming your way.
There's plenty of them out there that I know need the help. And that certainly they go to nationalcsoc.com. Just ask for the intro meeting. We'll tell you what we do and try to pitch you in if we can.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate it.